I do think Tesla can get to like unsupervised FSD next year, like just based on the feeling of what I felt so far with version 13. It feels like it's calculating its options and picking the best one.
Version 13 is the first one where I have had several zero disengagement drives, which is like huge for me.
Once Tesla can move into unsupervised territory, when people don't have to pay attention anymore, I think a lot of those worries and impatience, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, will disappear by 99%.
Now with version 13, you have them everywhere and it has improved everything, everything.
Do you see yourself ever trusting an unsupervised version of full self-driving where you don't have to pay attention?
Yes, absolutely. I do.
It's still, if you take a step back, like, holy crap, I'm just some random guy and my car is literally driving me anywhere I ask it, like 99.9% of the time. Like, that's pretty crazy and pretty cool.
So we're going on a rampage, Hans and I, to talk to every V13 tester that has gotten this the update so far. And thus far, we have spoken with JD from AI Driver. We've spoken with Chuck Cook from Chuck Cook. We're going to speak, obviously, to you from Dirty Tesla. And we'll also have one scheduled on Monday with Omar from Holmars.
Oh, perfect.
It seems like we have like the big four. Yeah. Of FSD testers on YouTube and X.
And the early access OGs.
Yeah. Right. We almost need to come up with like a badge for y'all or like something, like the big four OGs or something. The prevailing theory, and so I'm not looking for confirmation, Hans and I'm not looking for confirmation. We're just really curious to get your take on how you're seeing the software develop so far. Mm-hmm. From firsthand experience. So the prevailing theme that I'm hearing from JD and Chuck, JD especially, is that V13 seems to be confirmation that Tesla is definitely on a path to offer self-driving rides at some point this year, or next year rather, 2025, right. And that the progress of the that they've made so far, especially with V13. It's not hyperbolic to say that it's quite profound and amazing. So that's the prevailing theme that I'm hearing, right? And, you know, pull me back to earth if you think this is hyperbolic, but I'm really curious to hear what you've experienced so far and how it aligns with what you expected.
Yeah, sure thing.
Go for it.
You were okay. Yeah. I agree. I do agree with that for the most part. The jump. So, I mean, if we go back to like the beginning, you know, cause I've been thinking about the beginning when FSD first came out. I mean, it was just making mistakes all over the place and like almost swerving off the road and doing crazy stuff. And that type of behavior has been gone for a long time. And we've seen these big leaps, and the past year, maybe year and a half, it's been like, wow, this thing can do like almost all of my driving. Like, yeah, it kind of uses the brakes weird sometimes or stops a little late, or I need to take over here and there for whatever reason. But for the most part, it's doing everything. Version 11 to version 12 was a big jump in the car's just overall feel and capability as like a real driver. I don't know if that's a good way to put it. Because version 11 was still doing a lot of stuff correctly. Version 12 then started doing a lot of stuff correctly and well. Instead of just like, yeah, I did it, but it was a little goofy. It was like, whoa, now it's doing it. And it's like, it feels pretty good. Version 13 is like building on top of that, where it's like, okay, now everything feels good. like pretty much everything in terms of accelerating and braking and turning and waiting to turn and the way it moves in relation to the cars around you. Because, you know, when you're driving, you don't sit at a stop line and then this car goes by. And as soon as they clear, then you go. It's you're rolling as other people are moving, right? Because you're kind of signaling to other drivers, especially something like a four-way stop. Like, yeah, I know it's my turn. Here I go. Don't go because I'm going. It does all of that really well too. And on top of that, if like the nav is kind of weird, it can just ignore it. Like if the nav says to turn right and do a U-turn and do something weird instead of just turning left, it'll like just turn left. And from the driver's seat, you have no idea how it knows how to do that, why it's doing that, but it's doing the right thing. And you're like, okay, well, all the information I see here shows that it kind of should have done something goofy. It still would have got us A to B, but it would have been weird, but it didn't do that. So all of that's there. And then the feel, like I said, I mean, every move every break so far. I have, I don't know, 300-ish miles on it so far. And you need a lot more than that to be like, yes, this is fully,
of course,
driverless. But so far, everything feels amazing. Now, where I'll pull back on that, and this is a little bit outside the car or outside the software, is I do think Tesla can get to like unsupervised FSD next year, like just based on the feeling of what I felt so far with version 13. I do believe that. But what exactly does, you know, then you got to get into the weeds. What exactly does unsupervised mean? Does that mean I'm sitting in the driver's seat and Tesla says, hey, version 13.8, you can now text while you're driving and there's no driver monitoring. We don't care. But we need you there in case the car asks for help or bad weather pops up or something. That I see. I mean, I honestly, I would never do this today because it's illegal and irresponsible, but I honestly feel like the software on my car right now is pretty much capable of that. Any intervening I've done, anything I've had to do is mostly just like personal preference or trying not to annoy the drivers around me. So a good example of something I've had to do, or I felt like I had to do, driving on the highway in the left lane, you know, we're passing people. FSD has a top speed of 85 miles per hour, which is pretty fast. Most people in Michigan don't drive that fast, but they can. We're going about 80. We pass everybody and there's someone on my butt. They want to go 90, which you'll see, you know, occasionally. FSD just does not move. It just sits in the left lane. There's plenty, it doesn't move. So I use the turn signal. That's the whole thing I did. It was like a 45 minute, 40 mile drive. That's the only thing I did the whole time. Were we going to, you know, crash and get stuck and hurt someone? No, of course not. It was just annoying. So those are the types of things I'm doing now. And then the last thing I'll add to all this is like unsupervised, like a robo-taxi with nobody in it. That's where I'm still kind of skeptical because it does all the driving, but like one time already, well, multiple times already, I've had it get stuck in scenarios where like it should have just popped into reverse back, you know, done a 2.3 point, 5 point turn and got out and it just doesn't move. It just doesn't do anything. So then what? Do you have the remote driver remote in and drive it away? Do you have someone come pick it up like Waymo does? So that's where I'm still skeptical. But yeah, in terms of like a customer car, my car having unsupervised where I can take a nap or text or something and I have to be ready to hear a beep and kind of help it out. I definitely see that.
Super interesting. Okay. Have you had any safety critical interventions yet with V13?
No, I wouldn't say so. So when I, again, you really, now we're getting to the point where you got to get really detailed on what you're talking about here. So what I consider a safety critical intervention or disengagement is the car was about to crash, or I think it was about to crash, or someone was about to crash into me, or I was about to, you know, hit a cyclist or something like that. And I saved it. And it's like, whoa, if I wasn't here, it would have ran into that tree or whatever. Those, no, I haven't had anything like that. Not even close. What I have had it do wrong that some people would consider safety disengagements is it's broken the law a couple of times. So it's turned right on a no turn on red, which is so funny because, and I disengaged, I stopped it. I didn't let it do that. And maybe not half the responses, but a good amount of responses are like, why would you stop that? Humans do that all the time. Who cares? And I'm like, because it's illegal and I don't want to break the law and possibly get a, you know, $200 ticket. That's why, you know, and it's technically wrong. Like,
pretty logical.
It was perfectly clear. Again, it's not like there was a car driving and we were going to cut them off or something. It's illegal. You shouldn't. And then the other one is I did have it ran a red light. It did technically, and this is on one of my videos, you know, you can fully see it yourself. We had a green light going straight. That's what our nav told us to do. And traffic was really backed up going this way. We were trying to go straight. Traffic was so backed up that our light turned green. This traffic was still blocking us. We had one human in front of us also trying to go straight. People started honking and stuff. FSD just goes zoop and just turns left to take another route. Now, technically, that was a red light for that left turn lane, even though we had a green to go straight. Again, there was no traffic coming towards us. It was perfectly clear, you know, for several seconds before it made that maneuver.
Interesting.
I just let it roll because I was like, we do have a green. I was kind of, you know, myself like, well, we're kind of stuck here. Really, looking back, the car should have just waited. Should not have turned left there. But again, if you go back to like, was it safe? Look, it ran a red light, but technically, yes, it was safe because it was clear. So,
yeah. Okay. So that's really interesting to hear. So it's kind of like making human decisions in a lot of these situations. And like, we know humans are not, I mean, literally the NHTSA stop is something that almost no human does, right? Like, who actually stops at a stop sign to zero and then, you know, waits and sees if the intersection is empty and then goes, right? If you approach the intersection, I hope no, I don't get arrested for this if there's a cop watching in the Austin right. metro area. If you see an intersection that's empty, you come up to the stop sign, you're at 2 miles an hour, you're like, no one's here, you go, right? It's not that
well, rare. And you say 2 miles an hour, but try to have somebody film you or film yourself and forget, like film yourself driving for an hour. I mean, you probably don't.
It's probably like 10 miles an hour.
It's like, it'll be like 5-6 miles an hour. You think you're getting down to one or yeah. two. You're going yeah. 5-6 miles an hour through a stop sign. I've done it. I've seen other, it's just what people do. Again, yeah. when the intersection's clear, that's what you do. Yeah. And yeah, and you can really feel FSD, and this was with version 12 too, but with version 13, you can feel it thinking. Now, maybe some computer scientist is like, no, it doesn't, you're wrong. What it feels like from an end user perspective, a not computer engineer who doesn't know exactly how all this stuff works, that thing is like, actually, if I do this, that will be, that's what it feels like. It feels like it's calculating its options and picking the best one. And maybe in the middle of, you know, there's option A, B, C, it starts with option A and it goes, actually, option B would be a little better, and it switches it up. And you're like,
interesting.
A good example of that is the parking stuff. So it can now park itself, kind of. Again, I don't know exactly how it tries to decide this. And even the release notes say that it's coming soon where we can like pick parking spots and it's going to be better supported. But I've had FSD 13. It'll go into a parking lot. There'll be parking spots on both sides and it'll stop right in the middle, like in the aisle, and just park, like put itself into park. Like, okay, whatever. Obviously, there's still a human there. That's not the right thing to do, but it's also not supported in the release notes. Other times, it'll do that and you're like, oh, it's going to park itself. And then it starts rolling again and it'll back into a spot. Or it'll pull nose first into a spot. So you can see it's like, it thinks it's done with the journey. And then it goes, actually, hold on, let me finish this. And it does the next thing that it's supposed to do.
Interesting. So it's fascinating you bring that up, because that was another theme that was brought up by Chuck and JD, is that it seems like the car has some form of intelligence. It understands context a lot better. It's able to plan in the future, you know, third, fourth, fifth order sort of like effects or whatever. Like it truly does understand that it's a car and it's trying to get to a point, and there are different ways to approach it. And the way the car drives makes the driver feel like it is actually thinking like a human, right? And that is such an insane thing to hear from three different people, that the car feels like it's actually thinking. But if you really think about how do you solve self-driving at scale with AI, I feel like that's one of the variables that we would need to see to say, okay, wow, it's actually being solved. Because if they're using human data to train the AI, it would make sense that it behaves like a human, right?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, if I take a step back, it's like, okay, it's not thinking, it's not sentient. But if you don't think too much about it,
it's like a proxy.
Yeah, it really feels that way. It really feels that way. Like, yes, at the end of the day, you sit back. Yes, it's not actually thinking, but it right. feels like it is. It feels like, just like you do, as your brain is going through the day or going through any task. It doesn't have to be driving. Just think of the tasks you do. You go to set something down and you go, oh, there's something in the way, and you just shift it off to the left a little bit. You don't think of that as intelligence. It's just what we do, but it's a form of intelligence, and it feels exactly how the car is operating. It gets into the parking lot and it's like, oh, we're going to go to this pin. And then it sees whatever's around its spot as it approaches it, or once it gets to it, and it goes, well, actually there's parking spots right here. Let me just pull in. And if you saw the one where it parked at the GameStop, I mean, that was like the biggest example of this. I mean, it was just like, yeah. And I even said to Stephanie, I was like, oh, okay, it's going to put itself in park here. Cause I had seen it do that several times already. I'd been driving it over and over again to test this stuff. And then it started moving. Oh, and then it pops itself into reverse and zoop, but smoother than the best parking person you've ever seen. Just zoop, parked right in the spot in between two cars. No problem at all.
Crazy.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it was like way smoother than auto park actually works 99.9% of the time.
Yes, that specific parking maneuver was better than auto park. And it made me kind of think, I'm glad you brought that up, because it made me kind of think like, oh, is auto park improved too? And I have used it like once or twice. I just, it's hard to remember to do all these things all the time. And it seemed good, but you got to do it 50 times before you really are like, oh yes, this is now better. So yeah, auto park has seemed good. I've been happy enough with it. I get people's kind of qualms of like, it's too slow because it's pretty slow. And if there's somebody like behind me, I wouldn't use it. But I do use it, especially on the Cybertruck. I use it regularly and it's good enough that it's worth using, in my opinion.
Hans, did you want to jump in here? Because like Chuck and JD, I'm going to hawk Chris.
Well, I was thinking about what you're saying with thinking, and you know, maybe the word that a computer scientist would use is planning. Like, it is planning what it's going to do, and it is adaptable. So it's recalculating what its plans are, you know, moment by moment, and making those adjustments. And yeah, like, is that thinking? I don't know, maybe, but it maybe not technically, but it is, that is part of what we are doing when we are thinking. And so, yeah, that feel is very, very similar.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. It, I mean, that's the best way to describe it, is thinking, weighing its options, which, yeah, planning is like another form of that. And, you know, the older FSD versions, especially, it's weird because the super old versions were just very robotic all over the place. And I realized version 12 is the first time they're like using the AI and, you know, blah, 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 and deleting all the code. But as the years have gone on and Tesla has increased the capabilities of the car, you'd see this in different scenarios. So like, one of the best ones was stop signs, especially four-way stops. Those are always just horrid because in older versions, because the car would do the, even when we had rolling stops a long time ago, it would come up to the stop sign. If there's a bunch of people, it would stop and it would just wait and wait and wait. And then it's your turn and it would just wait and wait. You're like, no, you have to go immediately. And then someone else starts to take your turn. And then the car is so slow and it's, I don't know, processing or decision making or whatever you want to say, that they would start to go and then it would start to go and then they'd hit their brake. And it was just, and that was regular occurrence. Now
it's like a nightmare for anyone with anxiety.
Oh, dude. And I don't have anxiety too bad. I would say I don't have anxiety at all, but when I'm driving my car, I don't want to confuse anybody. I don't want to be an inconvenience. You know,
you want to be that guy.
Yeah. I don't, you know, and here's the other part that's so, so I always say, people will say like, oh, you need to let the car do more. But I'm like, listen, I let it do a lot. I'm not out here to ruin everyone's day and piss them off and get in their way. And the other part about this, and I have this in videos because I do let the car do a lot. People, when a human sees a vehicle, you've done it, I've done it, do something weird on the road, swerve over the line, not use their blinker, whatever. You go, whoa, that car is now stuck in your head. And you're like, I better look out for that car.
Yeah.
One thing. You go 2 miles an hour under the speed limit. Are they drunk? Are they lost? Are they not from around here? They don't know where they're going. You know what I mean? So that car is now highlighted in your brain for the rest of the drive if you're driving around them. And so I had FSD, and this was like version, I want to say it was version 12 did this. Yeah, definitely version 12. Because version 12 always likes to go below the speed limit. And it would still do some goofy things. So it went into this like right turn only lane when we were going straight. And again, there's nobody there. It's whatever. This guy comes out of his neighborhood where the right turn only lane was going to lead into. And I wasn't even in his way. He could not have proceeded whether I was turning right or going straight because he would have had to wait for me to get out of the way. It's kind of a long story, but it's worth it. The car goes straight and I see his hands go like this because he knows it's a right turn only lane. He lives there. And I go, oh, great. So we're on this road. It's, I don't know, 50 mile per hour road, whatever it is. FSD wants to go 40, 45. And I'm like, I'm recording a video. I don't want to hit the accelerator yet. So I let it go for, I don't know, you could go watch the video, maybe 20 seconds. And I finally go, all right, I can't, you know, get in this guy's way. I need to press the accelerator. I speed it up. We get to, I mean, this is like 3-4 minutes later. It's a single lane road. We get to a left turn. As I get in this left turn lane, he gives me the finger as he drives by. I'm like, my man. Okay, for the first maneuver didn't affect you in any way. The second thing where I went under the speed limit for 20 seconds probably cost you a fraction of 1 second of your day.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
man,
like,
that guy really holds grudges.
And you can tell he was right on my butt the whole day. This is how drivers act. And maybe it's a Michigan thing. People do drive pretty aggressively.
No, it's a New Jersey thing too. When I lived in PA and I drove in New Jersey and PA too. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So that's how people are around here.
It's a cold climate thing. People don't have time.
get me out of here. I get it. So anyway, the point of all that is FSD needs to be able to fit in at least while we still have human drivers, which will be for a long time, of course. And it's doing that better than ever, for sure.
Go ahead, Hunt.
I'm with you on not letting it do too much. I prefer to disengage and then tell Tesla, like, I'm sure whoever listens to, or it's whatever LLM it is that has to transcribe my notes gets a kick out of the things that I say. I'm like, what the heck? You absolutely cannot do that in this situation. Like, stop it.
Yeah, for sure. I always try to include some key phrases like, we were going to crash, imminent collision. And we're like, maybe that gets highlighted, you know? So it's like brought up on the prior. I don't know. I'm just making it up, but it's like, maybe they'll look at that smart. One. Yeah. But again, I'll say with version 12 or version 13, I don't even leave notes. It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's really that good. Yeah. And, you know, I'm excited for it to roll out to more people because, you know, I've had this experience before. I was like, wow, this is a huge step up. And yeah, it's still doing this and this, but it's a big step up. And then it rolls out to everyone. And then people will come back to me like, YouTube is a huge step up and this is worse than before. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with your car or your area, but for me, it was huge. I don't think we're going to see much of that with version 13 just because it is so, so good. But the other thing that comes into that is personal preference, you know? Because of course, some people drive really fast. Some people like to drive exactly the speed limit, whatever. And 13 definitely is like speed demon. It likes to speed. If you let it, of course, you have to enable that in the settings and everything. But man, in a 25 mile per hour zone, it's going 35 and I get the same feedback. You know, I'm like, that's inappropriate. You can't go that fast. And people are like, that's so dumb. A cop's not going to pull you over for going 10 over. And I'm like, I don't know where you live, but yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yeah, exactly. But so a big part of it, I think people, you know, people that are excited for this or getting ready to try the software or whatever, keep in mind, it's not going to drive exactly like you. That doesn't mean it's wrong. You really got to keep an open mind, you know, and let the car do its thing safely and you'll be very surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. That whole discussion too, and I'll throw it to you, Hans, here. I think what's really interesting about it is when my dad gets an FSD update. So he lives in Pennsylvania, East Pennsylvania, and he drives into Jersey 5 times a week. His round trip commute is like 150 miles, like 3 hours almost. And his feedback for FSD is always, it's too slow. It's not confident enough. I got people riding my ass in Jersey and it just needs to go. And I feel like what you're describing with this is going to be like heaven for him. You know, this guy, he's in his mid 60s. He has been driving forever. He deals with New Jersey drivers on the daily. He knows exactly what the car needs to do. And it's so funny you bring it up because it's so true. It's so true. It's almost like, you know, my thesis has been that once Tesla can move into unsupervised territory when people don't have to pay attention anymore, I think a lot of those worries and like impatience, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, will disappear by like 99%. For the people that use unsupervised, because they no longer feel responsible for the behavior of the car. And that's why people behave that way. Because they don't want the people to watch them and be like, oh my God, what did you do wrong? If you can create like a separation layer between the car and the human by not having to pay attention, I bet you a lot of those things go away. And it's like, it's inconsequential in the long term. It's just more of a preference thing. But I feel like going unsupervised will delete a lot of those worries. Like if that becomes like a mitigating, like a thing for people to be like, I'm never going to use it. Well, you don't have to pay attention. Like, oh shit, I can go on my phone now. Okay. Or whatever. I can take a nap now. Okay. You know, the value proposition changes. Go for it, Hans.
Yeah. I was just going to say, can you, you know, expand for the audience a little bit more your experience with speed profiles, from say 12.54 to 12.56 and now into 13.2.
Yeah, for sure. I will do that. And then I'll let you know Stephanie is ready if you guys want to talk to her for a minute.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, cool. So with the speed profile, so 12.5.4 didn't have them. And it was the worst thing for me was the speed degradation thing, which really came with version 12 in that, you know, the road is, say, a 55 mile per hour road. In the older versions, version 11, whatever, we could set the speed, right? And when you set 60 miles per hour for FSD, it went 60 miles per hour, you know, unless you're going around a bend or whatever, it would slow down. But it would go, that was like the target speed, like go this speed. With version 12, it brought max speed where you tell the car, like, the most you can go is 60. You can't go more than that. And the car cannot go more than that, but it can choose whatever speed it wants below that it thinks is appropriate for the scenario to go. So you set the max as 60 and the speed limit is 30 and it thinks it should go 40, it will, right? The opposite of that is true though, also, which is awful when you're living rural or in these, you know, aggressive or assertive driving areas where, sorry, my dog's playing over there, where, you know, speed limit's 55, you have the max at 70, and the car's like, I'm gonna go 48. You're like, nah, don't, no, this is bad. People are tailgating you, whatever. And you have no control over it. I mean, this is still true to this day. You have no control over that. You can't make the car go faster without pressing the accelerator or just turn it off. With the speed profiles now, you have chill, standard, and hurry, which is basically what they sound like. I haven't really used chill much, so I'm not going to talk about that because who wants to drive chill? But in hurry, this thing is like, it goes. It goes like mostly your target speed. Sometimes it goes below it. But it just brought so much better behavior to the speeding, like the type of speed you go and the way you get up to the speed and everything. Along with like getting closer to the speed limits, especially on hurry and going a bit over. But if you don't like that, you know, we need these controls for now because we're still in control. If you don't like that, you can cap it. You know, if the speed limit's 55 and you don't want to go more than 60, just cap it at 60. You don't have to think about it anymore. The car will go, you know, 60-ish, maybe 58 or something like that. And now with version 13, and so with version 12.6 or 12.5.6, that was highway only. And then they, you know, eventually brought them down to streets 50 miles per hour or more. Now with version 13, you have them everywhere, and it has improved everything. I mean, everything. My biggest complaints with version 12 speeding stuff, either going too fast or too slow, are all gone now. Because if I do go into 25, if you're in hurry mode in a 25 mile per hour zone, this thing will go 35 or 40. Okay. So it will do it if you allow it, but you don't have to. You can now be in the standard profile or the chill profile. And I have found that chill will still speed sometimes, but on top of that, you just do the right scroll wheel down to whatever you want your max speed to be. And then it can't go any faster than that. And we lost that ability in earlier version 12 versions, which I think was inappropriate, you know, and I understand Tesla's vision. And just like what you said, once this is unsupervised, nobody's going to care. Like, well, as long as Tesla pays your ticket, if you get a ticket. But if, you know, let's say that's the case, nobody's going to care if it's unsupervised. But for now, we need that control. And I'm very glad Tesla's brought it back. I still think the version 11 implementation is technically the best, only because I can say like, I'm going to go this speed, go it all the time. You still don't really have that ability, but hurry mode drives so fast in general that it's like 99% better.
Got it. Okay. So that's, so when we're talking about improvement, I mean, we're really seeing improvements across a multiple different variables here with V13. It's not just like behavior braking. Like you said, it's like, there's just so many different things it does better.
Everything. And the other thing is, and then I'll put Stephanie on. The other thing is there's no regressions, you know, which is like, it doesn't mean it's not doing anything wrong. Like I said, it's still, I don't know. No turn on reds are working for me for a long time. Now they don't anymore. I don't know why. But that was older. That's older. It's not like version 13 came. Like, oh, now they're not working anymore.
Right.
There's no blatant thing that was working great before that now doesn't work on version 13. With version 11, it was lane drift. I had the car would always like just kind of drift out of the lane. And it's like,
I remember the one time you just screamed.
it was like a year of this happening.
Your voice, no one's just screaming.
It was a year of this happening. And it's like, I know you guys see the videos. I know you guys are active on X. Like, what is happening? They didn't fix it till version 12. Then version 12 comes along. We get speed degradation. I'm like, come on. Now you can't even go the speed limit. Like, you're going. And oh, I didn't. Speed degradation is more than going below the speed limit. It loses speed over time. You stay on the same road. And it would be at 55 and just slowly go down to, I was in going 33 in a 55. That's also gone. So anyway, the point is version 13 didn't bring any of those, anything I found yet, which you can usually find in one or two drives. No regressions. No, that I found so far.
Wow.
I never want to say anything's 100%, but it's looking that way. So
awesome.
Let me throw Stephanie on here and you grill her.
I love it. Thank you.
Here we go.
Yep.
Second. Let's see what Stephanie says. Because so far, everyone's been pretty positive. Let's see if we can get the same level of confidence. Hello.
Hi.
Nice to meet you officially. How are you?
Nice to meet you too. Good. How are you guys?
Thank you for making the time.
Yeah.
We're doing great. Yeah, definitely. We've been conversing with all the different beta testers that have received V13. And since you're really the star of the show of Dirty Tesla, let's be honest here, okay? So we definitely wanted you on to talk about your experience with the software. We spoke with Chuck. We spoke with JD. Obviously, we spoke with Chris a little bit. We're bringing on Omar as well. So like the big four of V13 testing. And the reason why we wanted to do that was Tesla has been on a path of trying to solve for self-driving for God knows how long. And everyone that follows us including ourselves, are always like, when the hell are they going to get to a point where it looks like they're going to get this thing figured out, right? And with the neural net approach, with this V12, V13 thing, it seems like they're making some crazy jumps. And so we just want to talk to people that have a very close experience with the software, that are able to give unbiased opinions how the software's performing. And so since you've, I'm assuming, have had a lot of experience with V13 so far, you know, with Chris, what's your takeaway so far with what Tesla has done with this version?
To me, it's a huge jump, because even with version 12, I still was not like fully comfortable with it making turns even all the time. Like I would almost always disengage, like when I was waiting to turn left, or like if we were at a stop sign to turn right, just because it takes so long to make the complete stop and then go. And sometimes it would like still be a little uncertain about the turn and do something a little awkward. And it was enough to frustrate me where I would just be like, okay, we're just going to turn you off for a second. But version 13 is the first one where I have had several zero disengagement drives, which is like huge for me. And I trust it to make all those turns because it's just super confident. Like it knows what's going to do. It gives you little hints along the way so you can predict what it's going to do, which makes me feel more comfortable. And so it's just been so much more confident and smooth, and I'm enjoying it.
Do you see yourself? Okay, so let me ask you this. Did you, so when self-driving first started coming out for Teslas or cars, were you like somebody that thought would, like, how in the weeds were you? Were you like, eh, I don't trust it, I don't want to like mess with that kind of technology, or were you open to the progress? Help me understand sort of where your head's been at with this whole thing.
At first, I was totally uninterested. Like anytime Chris even tried to put just like autopilot on, I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, turn this thing off. It was like, I was
always worried. He dragged you in.
Yes, yes. So if you see like his older videos that he did with me back in the early days, I the whole time was just like,
Okay. And would you say, because, you know, I experienced this with my wife too, Cindy. It's like, you know, I, poor woman, I dragged her along on my videos early on too, you know? And, you know, she's going to be back of, she's going to be back on the videos, but, you know, she's been pregnant and we just had a little baby. So she, you know, we're going through that whole process. Thank you. Her thing at the beginning was like, please turn the shit off. Like, this is crazy. Like, I just don't want to deal with it. You're giving me anxiety. I hate this. Right. And then over time, And it's almost like what I'm trying to decide is like, okay, is she just getting used to the software, or is it getting materially better? Now, not at the point where when she takes the car, she just has it on. Like, it's just part of her routine. And we're on 12.5, I think, or 12. I don't even know which one we're on, but we're in hardware 3 cars. And that's been her journey. It's like, it's gone from, it's very similar to yours, I don't care, or like, I'm just not, I don't want a part of it necessarily, to becoming a, not only a useful part of her, say, driving, but it's something that she would prefer. Like, you know, when we go rent a car, she'd be like, man, I wish, you know, we had autopilot. Man, I wish we had self-driving. Does that sort of mirror your experience?
Yes. And I think that it's a little bit of both, a little bit of like getting used to it, but also that FSD has tremendously improved since like version 10, I think is like the first one that Chris tortured me with. But, But yeah, especially like you said, renting a car somewhere when you're in an unfamiliar place and letting the car make all those turns for you when you don't know what the roads are and where you're supposed to go, it's so helpful. And the big thing that really turned me on to FSD, or just even autopilot in general, was when there was a time where Chris and I were driving back to Michigan from Tennessee, and he had terrible food poisoning, and he's like, I can't drive, I can't do this. And I was trying to get us home as fast as I could because it was like an awful experience, and I needed autopilot, like just for like, it gave me so much relief to just have that, the extra set of eyes keeping me in my lane, keeping my speed for me. And I was like, wow, this is actually like really relaxing and really nice. And ever since that day, I was like, I can try this more and more, until the point where now I just let it do everything.
Super interesting. Hans, let me bring you in before again, I take up all of Steffi's time.
Yeah, I don't know if I can think of any more specific questions for that, but I do echo, I haven't gotten Brittany to this point yet. She does not like 12, 5, 4, 3 very much. He's like, this thing is a teenage driver is what it feels like. It's always uncertain. You know, she hates when we're turning into the neighborhood and then we've got, you know, the entrance to our neighborhood has a little median in it. And I don't know, at least half the times turning in, it gets confused by the median right at the last second. And it wants to like, do I turn left or do I turn right? And so it's like shifting the wheels and that drives her crazy. And then there are some other, speed thing, like when it waits to slow down right up to a stop sign or a line of traffic or whatever, that makes her anxious. And so she doesn't give me too much of a hard time for turning it on, but I have as yet to get her to turn it on. And when I talked to her, I was like, what do you think about the system right now? Yeah, she's still in the camp of, like, I can see that it's going to be, you know, if they can fix these issues, that then I might consider it. But for right now, no thanks.
Yep. Well, if she wants to try a little bit, the first thing that I did was I would just engage it like on roads that I was comfortable with and just going straight. Like, if getting to the point where you trust that the car is not going to hit other cars and that the car is going to keep you in your lane, like, that's huge. So once you have that confidence, then the other stuff kind of starts to come. But yeah, hopefully as it gets better and better, she'll be more comfortable.
Yeah, that's been one of the things we've been talking through for so long, is like the safety is one thing, but like making the person behind the wheel comfortable with the decisions that the car is making is almost more important, because you need to get through that like wall of, I'm going to turn it on, right? Like, it could be the safest thing in the world, but if I feel like the car is an idiot, I'm not going to keep it on, right? So, and it feels like the only way to solve for that truly is by having a system that can really mimic how a human would drive, which is a lot easier, quote unquote, with an AI system than, say, a coded system that everyone else is using, which is like a heuristics. Let me ask you one more question.
Oh, okay, question, then I got to run, but yes, yeah. Go ahead.
So, unsupervised. So do you see yourself ever trusting an unsupervised version of full self-driving where you don't have to pay attention?
Yes, absolutely. I do.
Okay. Have a good day. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Awesome.
Well, and I think one of the things that she said there was really important in that, that she felt like she could predict what it was going to do a lot better. And so I think that goes hand in hand with the comfort, like, it made her comfortable because it was predictable.
Yeah. So thank you, Chris, for throwing that over to Steffi. I think,
of course,
what was interesting listening to her is that it mirrors our experience too with our wives as well, where at the get-go, it was a, why are you dragging me into this shit? And then it ended up as, wow, this is actually very useful, and to the point where I prefer having this as a system. And sort of where we ended the conversation was, and Hans sort of gave a little bit of a clue to it, is the comfort of the system that gives the confidence to the driver that it's going to be safe versus actually it being truly safe is almost more important. It's like Tesla can throw as many data points as they want at the wall and at the public that says, our system is going to be 10 times safer than a human, 20 times safer, 100 times safer. Great. But if the car doesn't behave in a way that gives me the confidence that it's safe, it doesn't really matter if it's safe. Right.
Yeah.
And
I was going to say version 12 still had that problem. And it was weird because when version 12 first came out, this wasn't an issue and it came up later with late braking. It never was going to run into anything ever. Not even close.
I've been having that issue with my version.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's going. You're like, oh, they're stopped up there. And it's going and going. And then it stops at the end and it's not even a boom, big hard stop. It still is like, I can't even explain it because it's still a soft stop. It's just really late. Nobody wants to feel that or experience that, especially when you're new to it or you're not a nerd about it. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do it myself. You know, I have so my new data point I use now. Did you want to finish what you were saying?
No, please, please.
Okay.
No.
So Stephanie was always like my data point for someone who hates this or just isn't interested and is kind of, you know, a casual and whatever. Now she's into it. She likes it. You know, I had said to her, I don't know, a year ago or something, I was like, man, what do you think about that Rivian, that R1S? That's like the perfect mom mobile. That thing looks awesome. And she was like, but it doesn't have FSD, does it? And I go, like, I was like, what? What did you just say? I'm like, no. She goes, yeah, then I don't want it. I was like, well, what's happening? I could not believe it. I literally couldn't believe it because I didn't realize she was that into it at that point. And I said, whoa, I didn't know that was such a big, you know, deal for you. And she goes, oh yeah, I don't want a car without this now. And I'm like, you wouldn't even use it a year ago. And she goes, well, yeah, but now I do. Like, okay, fine. So my data point I use now is my coworker. He got a Model 3 a little over a year ago. I've worked with him for, over six years now. So he's known about all my Teslas. I've given him rides and he's tried out the FSD with me. And his opinion was always like, oh, this is neat. You know, like he appreciates the tech, but he like doesn't care, which is good. That's what I want. I want someone that's not a nerd and not reading about it and blah, blah, blah. So he's been getting the free trials from Tesla. And his thing, it kind of sounds almost a little bit like what you're saying with your dad. His thing is basically like, it's kind of rude. It goes a little too slow for me. He's like, I already know what I want to do. I might as well just do it myself. Like I don't want to wait for it. And I'm like, so it's not worth $99 a month. And he goes, it's interesting. And he's like, I like the highway stuff. He goes, but no, I wouldn't pay that much for it when I can just do it myself. You know, on top of that, when he gets the free trials, even he still won't really use it. And I kind of probe him on it. I don't want to talk to him about it too much though, because I don't want to spoil. This is my last data point I have, you know, of a normal person.
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about it too much with him. But he basically,
at least you have normal people around you. You're lucky.
Yeah, dude. I know. I'm very lucky because you need that outside information.
100%.
Otherwise, you don't know what's going on. You know, in the real world, you're just stuck with all us nerds. And so he doesn't even have a great reason. He's just like, yeah, I can just do it myself, so I might as well. And I'm like, okay, you know, I kind of leave it at that. But whenever he gets a free trial, I ask him about it. So,
okay. Yeah. That's going to be very, very interesting to see. It's like, I also like my dad is one of those data points for me. It's like, as I know, so he's in the camp and it's funny because we released a video, with the three of us, my dad, my mom and I, we were driving around in FSD. And even though my dad's like, I'm not going to use this, but why would you buy anything else but a Tesla? Was sort of his conclusion. Like, it makes no sense to buy anything else but a Tesla, even if you're not going to use the self-driving, because it could drive itself at some point and it's cheap to run, blah, 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 maintenance and all, you know, everything that all of us Tesla owners are super aware of. I do think that, you know, you tell me if, because I'm curious to see if this actually pans out with your coworker. Because it feels like with V13, again, early, super early, we don't have enough miles, but thus far talking, what's interesting is talking with you, JD, and Chuck, all three of you are from three different regions. You're from Michigan, Chuck's from Florida, JD's from Cali. All three of you have been saying essentially the same theme, which is it's better across the board, really better across the board. It hasn't regressed anywhere that I can notice. And it's so damn good. And I haven't had to really have any true safety critical interventions. It's all just little things here and there that are not that big of a deal, but they're things that have to get cleaned up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really curious to see what happens when that becomes a free trial and or people really begin adopting this technology because of the virality of it. That's, you know, that might be going on the internet. It's like you start seeing, you know, the AI, freaking JD's, his videos get like hundreds of thousands insane. Of views.
Yeah, we talk a lot. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I don't know. <I'm> like, come on, man. You got to help me out.
I think it's his wonderful voice. He has such a great voice. You know, so do you, honestly. You both have phenomenal voices. And it's like, but I don't know what it is. But so like, let's think about that for a second, right? We have between you, Chuck, JD, and Omar. There's literally hundreds of thousands of people that watch Teslas drive themselves, right? At some point, that's got to mean something. It's got to mean something. You know, is it Kim Kardashian putting her Tesla gold Tesla bot in her Cybertruck and she's like, oh my God, look at me. It's driving me around with V13. Is that a thing? You know, that I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Yeah.
Well, there's hundreds of thousands of people watching. And the important point about that is the car is doing things right. It's very easy to get those views when the cars make mistakes or screwing up. There's drama.
Great point.
And, you know, because it's always easier. You know, negativity gets clicks and all that. So when you're like, whoa, this thing almost crashed. Like, it's so funny because people say to me, like, oh, you're biased. You want it to do good because you want to get more views. And I'm like, what?
Want the opposite.
Yeah. If you look at the top videos of FSD on YouTube, not from me, from all of them in the whole world, they're pretty much all, it almost crashed or it almost hit this thing or what, you know what I mean? They're not like, we had a perfect drive and I did nothing. Like, that's super interesting from like a civilization perspective, but not from an entertainment video perspective. So, there's definitely curiosity. And I think a lot of it is that it's novel and it's still pretty new, even though this has been around for 4 years. It's still like, if you take a step back, you're like, holy crap, I'm just some random guy and my car is literally driving me anywhere I ask it, like 99.9% of the time. Like, that's pretty crazy and pretty cool. And so some of that'll wear off eventually, but, yeah, I don't know. Tesla just gets all the clicks. I still can't exactly figure out why, you know? Obviously it's a super interesting company, but I don't know. There's a reason that we all have kind of, I mean, I know you've branched out. You do a lot more now than Tesla. But it's kind of where a lot of us started, at least, if nothing else. And that's why, because people click on Tesla for, I still can't exactly figure out why, but, and it's funny because, you know, talking about that, I have a Cybertruck video where I got it last March. We had one big snow after I got it. And it hadn't snowed since then. And I made a video about just the driving it and blah, blah, blah. And the thumbnail is like, problem. And I point at the front because the headlights, you know, everyone talks about the headlights. That video is now blowing up again because I'm sure, you know, that other guy made a video and it's just,
oh, with the headlight.
And it's cyclical. Like, now the snow is coming. So people are like, whoa, what about Cybertruck in snow? I don't know why people have these questions. It's like, does it work in the snow? Like, yeah, they made a vehicle for $100,000 that you can't drive in the snow. Like, what are these questions? But anyway,
that's a Land Rover.
Exactly. Yeah. Now this video is, you can see that I have done nothing. I haven't changed anything. It's just, you know, going up again. And, you know, you get a couple comments a day. Like, oh, piece of junk. You know, that's.
Yeah.
And then, I'm sorry, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but
please. Like,
why are you coming to this video? I don't care. You can hate the Cybertruck. You can think it's the ugliest thing ever. Never buy it. Cool, dude. I don't care. Buy whatever car you want. Why are you coming? Why are you searching for a video of the Cybertruck and then clicking on it and then watching it and then commenting about the content in that? But it's just, I just don't get it. I don't get it. So anyway.
If you ever figure that out, Chris, please let me know.
Yeah, we'll be retired if we figure that out. But so, I think the views and everything will get to a point where people will be like, you know, it draws them in initially and then they can start looking into it. And then you got to get that affordability there, right? Which Tesla is getting better at every year, but you really got to get down to, you know, that $20,000 car or whatever they're talking about, which if you look at used, you can almost get there. So
100%. Hans, I saw you came off mute. Go for it.
One of the things that Tesla's obviously bigger than this, and this isn't why the Tesla name brings in eyeballs, but as far as the FSD testing, like, what other company puts out software updates that their customers can literally go torture test in any way, shape, or form that they want to and let it drive itself? You know, like, their willingness to expose full self-driving to so many different drivers, environments, geographies, traffic conditions, like everything. Whereas, you know, the only other alternative for self-driving is Waymo, that, you know, it works in the couple cities that it works, when it works, as much as they want it to work, and that's it. Like, that is such a huge difference.
And it's very important because, you know, people will, I don't get this reply as much anymore, but people are like, oh, Waymo already, you know, Waymo would have done that right or whatever. And my response is always like, okay, let me try it. Like, it's that simple. Like, yeah, I can see FSD screw up all the time, but if I'm making a video, for the most part, not all of them, but if I'm going to make a video about it, it's going to be hard. That's the point. We're pushing the capability of this thing. I want to see where it messes up, if it messes up. Of course, I throw some normal drives up too. You know, it's like, okay, I'm literally like, I got to go to Home Depot today. I'm putting it in and letting the car do it. And it'll nail it pretty much every time. And like you said, the willingness of Tesla to do this. I put up videos where it screws up all the time, especially the old ones. Oh my gosh. Crazy mess ups. But I did one of Cybertruck FSD, which I don't know what's going on there, because Cybertruck FSD is freaking goofy compared to on the Model Y. even when they were on like almost the same version, it is not nearly as good. Talk about late braking. Holy crap. I've had a lot of emergency braking in the Cybertruck. Like, it'll trigger its own automatic emergency braking.
Wow.
Because it brakes so late. That is not, I don't know if you guys have experienced automatic emergency braking in any car. Not a fun experience.
No, it's not fun. Yeah.
Oh, man. So Cybertruck has triggered that on me multiple times now. But so I put up a video where I've done this multiple times before, had the Cybertruck on FSD. I put some objects in the road. It's not I am a scientist, but that's like my day job. It's not the most perfect scientific test, but I do my best. You know, I try to repeat. I try to keep everything the same as much as I can. And Cybertruck sucked. It hit all kinds of stuff. It didn't care at all. It was like, oh, I'm just going to run over this gigantic box.
And it knows it's made out of metal.
yeah, exactly. It knows. Tesla's not.
It's FSD tank mode.
Exactly. Yeah. Tesla doesn't come at me and like take my software away or reprimand me. They didn't respond. They didn't say anything to me, obviously. But I think most companies, especially when you're on getting the early builds, which this was not an early build, it was a public build, they'd probably come at you and like, oh, you're no longer part of this program, blah, blah, blah. They know that I'm pushing this stuff because we want to see what it's capable of. And they want that feedback. This is how they learn. This is how they've made it so good, is they let this stuff happen. And they go, whoa, we need to fix that. Like one thing, I'm debating. Okay, I'll just say it's fine. I haven't said this to anyone else.
NDA warning.
Yeah, no NDA. I don't have any NDA. It's, okay. I heard that. So my first ever Cybertruck drive, I started, when it got FSD for the first time, I was like, hey, I want to try something. And I put the tailgate down and I was like, oh, FSD works with tailgate down. That's funny. Like, what? I didn't think much of it. Like, why would you really want that? I guess if you're hauling, whatever. So then it works fine. I close the tailgate, do the drive, whatever. Months later, I hear that caused lots of chaos, I guess. And because these guys watch the videos, there's no like direct evidence, but
right.
They're aware of this stuff. I guess that was seen as soon as it went live. And it was, I guess it caused, that's all I know is that there was some chaos in the background. Like, no, that should not have worked. So it doesn't work anymore. You can't do it. And I've meant to do a follow up. I just haven't done it. I've meant to do a follow up where I show that you can't engage FSD now with the tailgate down. I'm just going to post it to X. I just haven't done that yet, but it's a funny story. And guess what? They were able to quickly fix that because this is how they operate. This is how they iterate. This is how they get stuff done. So, it's a great company and a great, a great engine for progress, I guess.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a feedback flywheel.
Yeah.
I want to circle back to one of the things that you were mentioning earlier with the free trials. Cause I think that gap that you mentioned is actually kind of a significant one where they roll out these free trials, but then people don't actually try. Like they have access to the software, but they don't actually try it. So if you had the ability to suggest to Tesla a modification, what should they do differently when they give these free trials to customers to get them to actually turn the system on?
Man, that is a great question. The good thing they do, the good thing they do, I'll say, is you do get the little pop-ups down there if you don't have it on. I mean, this even happens to me. It's like, turn on, whatever, if it's not enabled. So that's good to at least make awareness, because a lot of people don't even know they get these updates. They don't even know. They don't know there's a free trial, whatever. So just off the top of my head, I think one of the good things they could do, and they'd be taken away from, my job a little bit, but do a little intro video for people that like comes in an email or even in the Tesla app, get the messages in the Tesla app. Do both, because people aren't going to notice this stuff. Just a quick, 20-second, 30-second video that's like, yeah, if you enable this in the settings, your car can drive you from A to B. You're still responsible. Pay attention. But this is our latest software and it's always improving. So if there's something you don't like, let us know. Give us feedback and we'll improve it for the next time. Because that was, my coworker's big thing is he sees it. I don't know how he hears about these things, but he'll mention it to me. And I'm like, yo, I got another free trial. And he gets excited because he likes to show it to his family and stuff. He's like, this is perfect. My dad's in town. I was just going to pay for the month, but now I get a free trial. But so he'll, he'll turn it on for a day and he's like, oh, it still does this dumb thing. And he'll never use it again. Right. And so I think one of the big things Tesla can do is emphasize, like, we're always making this better. It's always getting updated. So if you have, a problem, you can press this little button and tell us and we can fix it. Obviously, they're not fixing every little thing all the time, but just people having that ability to scream at it or whatever they have to do, I think helps a lot. But yeah, that's a great point, because a lot of people don't even update their cars, especially if they don't connect it to. I mean, come on, all right, we're nerds sitting here. We get the new car, we're like, oh, we're gonna add my Wi-Fi to the car. Who does that, dude? Most people are driving their car home. They might not even plug it in at first. They get home and they plug it in, and that's it. They're not gonna connect Wi-Fi. Why would they do that? it doesn't do anything for them to connect the car to Wi-Fi. They don't think about it. Eventually, they'll get a notification that it's like, update your car. And they're like, what does that even mean? So you really, for people like us, we really got a huge step back. You got to jog backwards for 5 minutes to really get to the same point that people who are new to these vehicles are at. And I also don't want to discount anybody. It's not like we're special and super smart because we're all nerdy about the cars. It's just that these are things a lot of people have never thought about with vehicles. And they don't have a good kind of jump drive to get into thinking about it in that way. So that's that could be a whole department at Tesla is figuring out what you just said.
The way I think about it is, I think at least for this next free trial, I think having words just like new and improved, I think will be, it's not just like a pop-up in the car, but it's also maybe a notification on the app. Maybe when you open the app, you have a new and improved version of FSD available, V13. Here are the things that we fixed that you may have experienced from before.
Yeah.
Download it and give it a shot. That's kind of where my head is going to, on top of the email, you know, sort of like there has to be like a mass communication that goes out. And then, but then you pocket that. Like I feel like that's the only time you can do that because you can't keep saying new and improved. So you do that. And then the next one is unsupervised.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you don't even have to pay attention.
Yeah. Yeah. Better than ever. You know, they got to use some clickbait to get these people, checking it out. Like for sure.
We could help them out.
Yeah, it's done. It's over.
Speechless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Your best drive ever. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Han, did you want to jump in here?
I was just wondering about, you know, maybe even going beyond that a little bit with either some free supercharger mile credits or like incentives to, you know, get $100 off your Tesla insurance this month for those that have Tesla insurance.
Every mile you drive on FSD, you get a free mile supercharging or you get 2 free miles supercharging.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Yeah, like every mile gives you this incentive, or you use it for an hour, you get this. Like on the whole, you get the gamify FSD.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Tesla gets more data from more people. Oh my gosh, you just broke.
I really like the because I was just thinking about it kind of in an on-off switch kind of way. But I like the incentive based on usage, like whether it is hours or miles or whatever. That's really really smart.
Well, you brought me to that, so like this is why you got to talk to people. Because I didn't think about incentivizing them in that way. But then it's just the next step is like, the more you use it, the more you get.
And that's the crazy thing about this whole value proposition, right? Because Tesla has ways to get people to adopt it.
Yes.
All they have to do is get it to a point that it's actually going to fit that bell curve of like people that download and use. They need to make that sort of like, they need to make the area under the curve gigantic. And then they'll just hammer the different incentives to get people to use it because they own the vertical. They have the car, they have the software, they have the app. Like they control the whole, they have the entire incentive structure, they have insurance. Like, you know, they have their own freaking service centers. Use FSC for a month, get $100 credit towards your next set of tires. I don't freaking know. Like you can do so many different things.
Yeah. No, that's really good. And the big thing they're going to have to overcome is the personal preference stuff because, you know, the car will drive perfectly. And if it's different than you, you're going to, you know, without stepping back and, oh, that's bad. You're wrong. Kind of, it's different than you would do. It doesn't mean it's wrong, but you think it's wrong. So then you just don't use it anymore. So you do, man, that per mile thing, that's it, man. Hans,
it's a big one.
Who can we tell? Because you got to get them into it.
They're all watching right now. Elon watches this, Chris. Yeah, he's our biggest fan.
On his airplane right now, on his way to his next meeting.
Shout out Starlink.
Little X is letting him know what happened.
Yeah, exactly. He's clipping it right now and putting it on his X. X is putting it on his X. Chris, we know you're a very busy man. You have a lot going on. Thank you so much for making the time, brother. Any parting words?
I'm excited for everyone to get to experience, you know, FSD 13. One of the most common questions I get now is why aren't they rolling it out? I don't know. There's nothing. This is so much better than version 12. I feel like they'd be stumbling over themselves to get this rolled out to everyone. I have no clue. I hope it's soon though, because it's really, really, really good. This is going to be a turning point for some of those people that have kind of had just their stickling issues with FSD where they use it, but like, oh, it does this kind of weird and it's a little slow here, or, you know, whatever. I think this is going to be a step up for a whole new set of people that are now like, wow, now I'm into this. This is awesome. I'm already starting to see it. Just from the clips and stuff on X, people are like, okay, this actually looks really good. I've never really liked it, but now I want this. So
awesome. Hans, yep. Anything else? Where would that Chris go?
Yeah, I mean, everyone just DM Chris so that he can make sure that you get G13 straight away. Lord. I'm actually curious, how did this meme start? I have been
at Dirty Tesla.
It started a long time ago, years ago. And I forget what the original joke was, but yeah, it was basically like DM Dirty Tesla to get whatever, some update, like the holiday update or something. And then it evolved into FSD, and it's mostly Bearded Tesla. If you guys watch Bearded Tesla, it's mostly him who yeah, he wasn't the first of the first, but he was the one who revived it into what it is now. And now everybody, I mean, Joa even on their website put a button that says like, here's how you get FSD. Just click right here. And when you click the button, it opens a DM to me on X. And so now I have people that are like, oh, I saw on Joa's website, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you know, I have to explain to some of these. I mean, I can't respond to everyone. It's literally hundreds of messages. Hundreds. And so I can't like even respond to people I want to respond to. And it is crazy. And so,
oh my God.
So I caught one guy and he, you know, had wrote me like a paragraph, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. This is a joke. Like people are just joking around. And I send people like the magic wand emoji, like, here you go. I hope you get it. And he's like, wait, so this wasn't true? And he like was so disappointed. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I wish I would do it if I could, but I just can't. So
I have the funniest idea for the pinned comment on this video.
Oh no. Go for it. I mean, it's a wasteland. My DMs are a wasteland. So
my wife had to come up to my studio and be like, if you don't stop laughing so loud, you're about to wake up the baby.
Oh yeah. That's,
she was literally just here like, shut up.
Don't do,
man,
that.
Don't do that. All right, man. Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate your time. Make sure you tell us Stephanie's thank you as well. Super valuable content. Make sure you go check him out at Dirty Tesla on YouTube and X. Thank you, man. I'm going to end the recording here. And if you can hang around for a second.